You guys, I'm going to get right to it. I feel so much joy and tension over today's message. We're recognizing that Jesus is the great I am. We recognize that from what he said in his word. The great I am is this: I am that I am. That's the name Yahweh. God gave that name to Moses to say, hey, look, tell the people when they ask who sent you, I am. I will be that I'll be. He's a noun and a verb all at the same time. And Jesus said that about himself. He said, I am, so many times, even in the book of John alone, but so many other times in the scriptures. When Peter was walking on the water, before that happened, the only other person that walked on the water was Jesus. And they thought he was a ghost. And they were freaked out. You can imagine, right? It's about, I don't know, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., and Jesus is walking on the water, and they don't know who it is, and they freak out, and they're like, it's a ghost. And he says, take courage. I am. Like, here I am. I am God in the flesh. I'm here for you. And now we're 3 weeks into looking at the fact that this I am described who he was. And I'm very excited to tell you that we're going to say and look at the fact that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This is a big one. They're all big. This one hit exceptionally hard for me. Light. What do you guys know about light?
It's bright.
Atta boy. Good job, Jed. It's bright. What else?
Cancels darkness.
Cancels darkness. Cool. What else? Exposes things. Shows the way. Anything else before I get to just go for it? Changes colors? Oh, I'm sorry. Contains all the colors in the spectrum. So good. Somebody said something else too. Cool. Let's go to the... Say that again. If we shine the light, it reflects Jesus in us. More on that later. Very good. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. The beginning, literally, what that word means. We're going to go to Genesis 1. We'll go 1 through 5. So as you're turning there, I am unashamed creationist. I believe that God is creator and he created. I don't know how all of it happened except for what I get to read. And he said, and it happened. And that's pretty powerful. So powerful that we have a hard time believing it. And I get it. I'm a human. I don't understand it. But I believe it. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. He goes on to create everything else, and every single time he ends it with, there is evening and there was day. Or evening and morning is another way that people read it. Why does the day start with evening? Ever thought about that? I'm going to go real quick because God said so. Check it out. What was happening before God created light? Darkness, chaos, lack of clarity, wildness, all kinds of different things. And then the light. Very first thing that God creates is light. He's the source of it, by the way. We're going to go through a bunch of different passages. I have a bunch of bonus passages. I geeked out so hard this whole week. I could not wait for Sunday. And John and I were talking, and I can get to talking, and I can get to going, and that Sunday mornings can be long, and for some people, they're like, keep going, and for other people, like, and that's not even counting the kids that are downstairs with people who are like, please, give me something to do. Look, we need help in our children's ministry. I'm just going to tell you right now. We need more people to be a part of it. I don't mind that kids are here. As a matter of fact, I love it. If you don't know this about me, I have 11 kids, 5 grandkids. Kids don't bug me at all. I don't mind that they distract and all that kind of stuff. But they have a chance to have something that is age-specific, very much the good news, spoken to them in ways that make a lot more sense than having a 52-year-old talk to them. But we need help. But with that being said, I want to give you just a quick amount of verses on the light. I want to start with that, though. The very beginning of it is that God created the light. God sourced the light. God brought the light in. And it goes from night to day. And the seventh day is super cool. It doesn't say a whole lot other than God rested on that seventh day. And everything was super clear. Everything was made. It was wonderful. And we know that it fell apart. Darkness still is here, but so is light. The day brings clarity. The night is chaos. God is so good to say, I'm giving you light. Let's go to Exodus. Next book, Exodus 13. We'll go 20 through 22. Super fast. A lot going on here. Exodus, as you might already guess from the name, is an exit. It's an exit from slavery. It's an exit from Egypt, where that slavery was at, from darkness and chaos. One of the plagues you might remember was complete darkness, except for God's people. They were in the light. But they got out. And they were trying to figure out where they're going, and they were living in what we would call tents. They call them booths, or they call them tabernacles. Check this out. Exodus 13, 20 through 22. And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. A little rhyme there, kind of cool. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. Whoever said that it's guiding and showing the path, light does that. Please turn with me back to Psalm 139. We were just there earlier this morning. We'll kick that again super fast. Psalm 139, and we're going to go verses 11 through 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. I don't know if you're getting what that's saying, but hiding in the dark. The only light about me is night. That's not a very bright time. We have a lot of people in this room that deal with people who have broken the law. Vast majority of laws being broken are at night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Please go to Isaiah 60, 19. This is a little preview of the last verse we're going to look at. On light. But it's pretty sweet. 700 years before Jesus is born. Check this out. Isaiah 60, verse 19. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Please turn with me to John 1. I'm going to go 1 through 3, but for a dramatic effect, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 without you being able to see it on the screen. For those of you who brought your Bibles, you can read it. How sweet. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I will pause at verse 3 for a second before I get all dramatic and read you the other two verses. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all part of creation. Because they're God. Not three different gods, not three different parts, three different persons of the Godhead. How can I explain it? I don't know. Jedediah and I were trying to talk about it. It's just a really cool thing. Hard to explain, but I actually believe that there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These are the types of verses. You got the beginning of John, you got the beginning of Genesis, talking about the beginning and God creating. And that light is the source. Light is the way. Light is the direction. And verse 4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some of your translations will say, understood it. And then finally, Revelation 22, verses 3 through 5. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. Friends, what have we learned about the light so far? I mean, in your lives, absolutely, but right here in these passages, what have we learned?
Light is God.
Light is God. Outstanding. Thank you. What else?
It overcomes darkness.
Amen. It overcomes darkness. What else?
It's the beginning of everything.
Woo! It's the beginning of everything. Literally, nothing can grow without it. Not, I mean, mold, maybe. But even so, it needs a little bit of light. God, oh, man, there's more. Come on.
Well, we can't see.
Can't see. It's forever.
Darkness can't overcome light. Light overcomes.
Come on. Darkness can't overcome light, as somebody said before, but light overcomes darkness. When the light's on, it's there. When it's off, it's gone. Will you guys join me in John 3? Casey talked a tiny bit about this guy. We're going to hear a little tiny bit more about him. His name is Nicodemus. He was a ruler, a teacher of Israel. He was a religious big boy. He was literally called the teacher of Israel. So at some point, he would have been teaching other Pharisees. John 3, 1 and 2. Bless you. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. When you see the capital J, Jews, that isn't saying the Jewish people. That's Iuda, that's the actual Jewish leaders is what that means. So he was a ruler of the leaders. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. My father in the faith, Kevin Kavanaugh, was the first person I ever heard say this. This was the original Nick at Night. He showed up at night. Now, a lot of people say he showed up at night because he was afraid. Maybe. Some people think that he showed up at night because it was a way for him not to be seen. Maybe. You know what else happened at night? Everything kind of slowed down. He had a chance to actually have a conversation with Jesus that wouldn't be interrupted by a bunch of people. I tend to believe that Nicodemus was going there because he wanted some answers. He was drawn to Jesus. He wanted to meet with him. And I also think that he was trying not to be seen. This was a scandalous thing. The leaders were not sure who this guy is. He's doing all these things. We know that you're from God. Nobody can do what you're doing, but we don't get it. Then he goes on to tell him, hey, you got to be born again. And he tells him the thing about the snake. I'm that dude. And then John 3:16. Anybody, really quick, stand up. Tell me what that verse is. Please, by all means, somebody stand and tell me John 3:16. Amen. Thank you, Rachel. He tells him that. And he's like, oh, gosh. And then verse 19. And this is the judgment, Jesus says. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Rachel just read to you about what's called agape love. For God so agaped the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Agape, unconditional, unrelentless, an aggressive kind of love. How much love did God have for you? How aggressive was it? He gave his only Son. He came here. He made life. We tried to control it. He said, when you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to pass away. And then he redeemed it and saved it and forgave it. And then he did so by showing up, and the light was unacceptable to people. Because this word, love the darkness, is also agape. The Greeks had five different words they could use for love. Friendship, erotic type love, brotherly love, adoring this unbelievably unrelentless love. Jesus said, here's the judgment. Light came into the world, but people agaped the darkness. They unrelentlessly, we unrelentlessly love the dark. If you say, not me, man, I love light, why do you have to ask for forgiveness? Why do you have to repent? You don't even have to try to love the dark. It's just in us. But the light has come. I fully believe that we become new creations in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Life, not death. Light, not dark. Oh, it's cool. I believe that. And I also believe that we have darkness in us and we still like to do things our own way. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and tell me how you did that today already, but you have. No, man, it's a good day. This is church day. Okay. Good. Are you aggressively, unrelentingly, unconditionally pursuing the dark? Or do you accept the light? Do you recognize the light? Do you want the light? Verses 20 and 21 of the same John 3. Jesus says, for everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. Do you know how many people on a regular basis say, if I come to church, the roof's going to fall in? I'm like, look, the roof might fall in, but it won't be because of you. People avoid Christ. They avoid Christians. They avoid church. They avoid the Bible, or they unrelentlessly push against that. It's the world we live in. It's the bodies we live in until we're redeemed. Verse 21. But, I love it. Big but of the Bible. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is a call, dear friends, to repent, to come into the light. Why don't people like the light?
It exposes them.
It exposes stuff. How many of you enjoy sleeping? How many of you wish you could sleep better? How many of you awakened at some point of having wonderful sleep by a light that didn't feel so wonderful? My friend at one point was on a trip with some other friends, and she said, is it going to weird anybody out if I take my mattress and go into the closet and close the door? That's the darkest room I've ever seen. I'll get a really good night's sleep. Friends, don't think too hard about it. If you want to sleep, you tend to have darkness. If you want to get away with something, you tend to want darkness. If you don't want the truth, you actually want darkness. I must move on, but boy, do I have a lot more for you. The Feast of Tabernacles was given to the Jewish people to remember how God provided for them in so many ways. Literally, people would have homes and everything, but for a week they would get outside of their homes, build a tent or a booth to remember that they were in the desert, in the wilderness, and God had to provide for them. And there are some really cool things that they would look at and talk about. One of them was the water from the rock. One of them was the pillar of fire. One of them was the manna, which we talked about last week, that Jesus said, I am that manna. He said, I am that living water. And in John 8:12, he says, I am that light. Will you join me in John 8:12-13? Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Church, what did he just say?
Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Do we remember, like, all the way back in the beginning of John, he says that the light of life had come and it was him? I know that I didn't get to John 1:14, all that, where it says the word became flesh and walked around people. That was Jesus. You don't have to take my word for it. Please read it. Talk about it amongst yourselves. So the Pharisees hear him say this and like, you're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Look, it's not legal for you to do that. You can't just be the only one bearing witness. Jesus goes on to say, what we won't read right now, but you can on your own. Actually, if I bear a witness of my own, I'm telling the truth. But my daddy is here too. He's saying, but let me tell you something about light. It bears witness for itself. If it's dark and you need to see something, whether you're old like me and need glasses and darkness is really tough for you anyways, or you're young and your eyes aren't adjusted to the dark, Although, isn't that amazing how quickly we do that? There's a message all of its own. We get used to the dark. But when you're not used to the dark, get out your phone and just, oh, that's not working. I'm going to go ahead and get my flashlight going here. Or you do this thing that's called turn the lights on. You do that so you can see. You do that so people don't stumble and fumble around. Or you turn them off to watch them. That's something I've heard about. We bear witness to things that people haven't seen, but light, people know about. The light bears its own witness. Jesus bears his own witness. He's telling them that I'm the light of the world in the context of them having a huge candelabra, menorah, that would be a wonderful reminder to them that their forefathers had been guided through the dark by a pillar of fire. And they all would have known that that fire and the cloud were Yahweh in their presence. And Jesus says, I am Yahweh in your presence. I am the light. Noah, he woke you up. Who else? He's the light. He's not playing around. But some of us decide to stay asleep. In John 9, he gets this opportunity after he says, I'm the light, I am the manna. I am always going to be Yahweh. I'm going to tell you something really quick about him saying, I am. He's always present. He doesn't become the light. He doesn't just bring the light. Friend, he is the light. You need some light shed on the subject? Jesus. Here we go. In John 9, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. By the way, see, displayed, manifest, shown, all those things are better because of the light. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? God is. Jesus is. He's the light. He's the source. But he said, as long as I'm in the world. People tried to dim that light. They tried to put the light out, and for under 72 hours, it looked like the light was gone. Will you join me in Matthew 5, 13 through 16? Jesus is teaching on his most recorded teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. There's three chapters in the book of Matthew. These are ones that have stood out to me for 30 years now. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was. If the source of light calls you the light, you're his people, you're plugged into him, you're the light. He's going to be leaving, but his people stay, his spirit stays. You, he says, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, although in our culture we put it under a shade. Hey, Alan, will you do me a favor? Will you dim those lights just down right behind your head there? Thanks, bro. We even have dimmer switches. We don't want too much light. Go ahead, bro. Thank you. I don't want people falling asleep. We do this with light, but Jesus is like, man, don't put your light under a bowl. Instead, put it on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your shine, light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. We are afraid to be too much light. We get judged. We can be jerks about shedding the light. There's a proverb that talks about words. It says, like, if you shout a greeting in the morning, it sounds like a curse. Why? Because people are tired, sleepy. They're coming from the dark and the chaos. And the light's coming, and they want a little bit of light, just a little tiny bit. Just give me a little bit until I can get to where I can handle some more. Some of you step into a room, and people just know, gosh, she's here. Now we can't cuss. Don't talk about that. She's going to say something. Oh, he's here? Do you know, he's preachy. And so judgmental. Not recognizing their own preaching or judgmentalism in that very moment. And yet the light brings a little attention to the issue. But we're afraid to be the light. But by God's design, his people make a positive difference, preserving righteousness, bringing light to a dark world. We're given position and influence to shed the light of Christ in a broken, tasteless world that's so dark. And we're to do it for God's glory. They don't say, oh, Aaron, you're amazing. Oh, Damon, I can't believe how cool you are. Christy, I wasn't going to say anything about you. You're in the front row, so I won't do that. Great job, Zach. You shine so much. And then we go, well, it's not me, it's God. And we mean it. But if they say, hey, you helped me to see some things, say, isn't that rad that God would use us? He called us the light of the world, and he's the actual light. You don't get to share the light by leaving him out. It just doesn't make sense. The creator of light has called us to be the light, and we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to live like it. We'd rather put a bowl over it. Good news, there's repentance. Look, I got to stop. And so I'm going to have to stop with the passage, and I believe that you will be able to derive some really amazing tips on how to be the light. It's Ephesians 5, and it's 6 through 21. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. Dun, 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 dun. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's your move, church. You want to move towards Jesus, the light, or do you want to stay where you're at, or do you want to go away from him? What would it look like for you to move towards him, to step into the light? Would it look like gratitude? God, you're the one that gave the light. You're the one that has exposed things. You're the one that has given me a chance. Thank you. And then with that gratitude and that expose, would you repent? Repent of being ashamed. Repent of being embarrassed. Repent of being disobedient. Repent of being the kind of person that would rather headlong, unconditionally love the dark. And then after doing that, maybe your step is you're moving towards sharing that light with people. And you're going to learn how to do so, and you're going to learn how to do so in kind and compassionate but unmistakable ways. You know how often people will say to me, "Ooh, gosh, I'm sorry I said that." And oftentimes I'll say, "Man, don't worry about it. You have to bow to somebody, but you don't have to bow to me." You know what that is? That's putting a little shade on my light. I should take that opportunity and say, "Man, I appreciate you saying that, because it is offensive to hear those things, and I'm working on not saying those things. So good job." And maybe not just around me, but maybe just in general, you would live in such a way where you don't have to say, "I'm sorry for what I said." So shine. Finally, maybe you need to serve. You've been sharing and all that kind of stuff, but there's an area, and I'm not just talking children's ministry or serve Saturday. I'm talking neighbors. I'm talking friends. I'm talking coworkers. That it's time to serve them. It's time to be in the light in their presence. And there's lots of other things that you could do. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." And we're looking at what Jesus said. Again, with all the questions that I have for you to be able to discuss with your friends, family, I have a ton of other verses that I actually wanted to fit in. Could you imagine how late we would be? And I subdued myself a bit. Not because I wanted to cover my light. I wanted to share it and then have you get a chance to go do it as well. Let's pray. Jesus, we aren't all preachers up front like I've been today, but we're all preachers of something. I ask for forgiveness for those of us who have been preaching darkness. I ask, Lord, for the light of life, the light of you, Jesus, to shine on my friends' lives. On my life, Lord, that you would point out to us what needs to be changed, what was exposed and is brought into the light. And then we would walk as children of the light. God, there's some people that when it comes to gratitude and repentance, they now, right here, need to submit to you and surrender and say, "Look, I haven't followed you. You're not my God, but I recognize that you are. I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me." And then there's others, Lord, that are already following you and are stumbling at some spot or are starting to really get after it. And others, may we be the kind of people that can say, "We're the light of the world, and we're going to let our light shine before people that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven." God, I pray this in the unmatched name of Jesus. Amen.